right, good friends, and good evening. It is Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, and that means right here on We the People Radio Network, it's time for the INN Weekend Report. This is Tom Kyle, your host, and tonight, good friends, rather than coming from the Big Apple from Brooklyn, New York, where we usually emanate from with this program, we are in Denver, Colorado, site of the Democratic National Convention that's going to be happening. Actually, I guess it's pretty much starting off already now. And we came down here. INN is reporting this week here from Denver. And our television program will be doing numerous interviews throughout the week. And we'll be talking with people on the street and that sort of thing. And we're doing our radio show from Denver as well. So we all got into town. We're setting all our equipment up, and everything's getting all ready to go. Should be quite interesting. I could tell you, good friends, there was a tornado touching down just right outside of town about an hour ago or so. So everybody's in the act. It's all mixing up, right? And there's a lot to talk about. Of course, Barack Obama has now named his vice presidential running mate. And that'll be Joe Biden from Delaware. I'd like to see what you have to say about that. But in any case, let me tell you about our show this evening. We've got a couple of great guests lined up for you. First, we're going to be speaking shortly with Bob Fitrakis. Bob is he teaches college in the Midwest there, and he's an expert on voting issues. And we're going to talk with him about how secure are these elections going to be coming up in November. Of course, we've been plagued with all kinds of problems, shenanigans, and otherwise with our ability to vote, with the ability of we the people to have our voices be heard through the ballot. And it doesn't look like these problems are getting straightened out anytime soon. And it's a big problem, because as you know, it's been out in the open for quite a long time now, and it just, you know, with the politicians in charge, it just doesn't seem to be possible to get it straightened out. But in any case, Bob follows all of that. He's a science, political science professor in the social and behavioral sciences department at Columbus State Community College. Anyhow, and then in the second hour, we're going to be talking with Bob Edgar. Bob Edgar is the national head of Common Cause. Common Cause, a group that was founded in the wake of the Nixon impeachment and Watergate, because of the concern that the bipartisan concern that citizens had that the government was accumulating too much power, that it was overreaching, and that we have to come together from all different political parties and you know, keep our eye on the government and not let it get too far out of hand. Well, you know, it seems like that was a long time ago, and it sounds like that kind of work is sorely needed. So Bob Edgar's in town here for the Democratic convention as well. We'll be speaking with him in the second hour. So there you have it. Like I said, a few things. Joe Biden, were any of you surprised that with that pick? It'd be interesting to see what you think on that. We'll be taking callers later in the program. Also, you know, of course, John McCain and Barack Obama take up all the headlines, but they are not the only people running. Cynthia McKinney's on the green line. We're going to have her in the studio, it looks like, tomorrow, so that should be very interesting. And, of course, you've got Bob Barr on the conservative line. We've had him in the studio many times. We've had, actually, Cynthia McKinney many times in INN as well. You know, it's these are the people that nobody else is talking about because of this two-party system that we have going so strong in this country. We spoke about that a few weeks ago also with Richard Viguerie, you know, how, you know, the difference between the American system and the parliamentary systems, where perhaps these different interest groups can get more of a voice if they become part of a coalition. But in any case, let's go right now to our first guest, Bob Fitrakis. Bob, welcome to INN Radio. You've been on the television program so many times. I think this is your first appearance on our radio talk show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well and glad to be doing radio.
Great, great. This is Tom Kiley. I'm Lenny's partner here at INN, and I do the radio side, the talk show side. And, Bob, we were just I was just introducing you to our listeners. Primarily, we know you through voting rights issues and you know, all the different problems that we've been having. Why don't you tell our listeners how you've come to be an activist who gets on the alternative media talking about these issues.
Well, I'm a former international election observer. I had the privilege of co-writing the International Observer's Report in 1994 in El Salvador following the first free election after the Civil War there, although it wasn't very free and there was a lot of U.S. involvement. I also edited that report, which was delivered to the United Nations, so I'm familiar with how elections should operate. I have a Ph.D. in political science as well as a J.D., and I was an election protection observer in Ohio in 2004. I was a roving attorney, you know, sent into the field to by a nonpartisan coalition of election protection groups to observe irregularities. And all the things I was trained for in El Salvador to look for, I found in Columbus, Ohio. So that's probably how I came to the attention of INN and other places. I also manage and direct a website called freepress.org, where we published a lot of this early on, sent it off into cyberspace, and it ended up in Congress, and John Conyers invited me in to talk about what happened in Ohio in 2004.
You know, Bob, it's very interesting because certainly after the 2000 election, and that's actually when Lenny and I came together and formed INN, because we felt that not only did we have some serious problems with the with the way that the elections were going, but that the media was more like a cheerleader rather than somebody who was speaking on behalf of we the people to get to the bottom of it. And that's how we got involved in the alternative media. But in any case, one of the things that I felt was that we ought to be petitioning the European Union or, you know, someplace, the Soviet, the former the Russians, or somebody to come over here and send international observers over here, because it looked like...
Except they'd be arrested. I mean, literally, I was in a meeting in 2004. In fact, I just got a call from a researcher working with Bobby Kennedy, who and said, now tell us about these threatened arrests of the international observers. In 2004, a distinguished group of international observers came over, including people that had fought apartheid in South Africa. And they came into Ohio and asked to observe the elections. And they were told by J. Kenneth Blackwell that if they came within 100 feet of the polling places, they would be cuffed and arrested by the Franklin County Sheriffs here in Columbus. And throughout the state, the county sheriffs would arrest them.
So let me get this straight. Now, you were an election observer, and nobody threatened you with arrest, I'm taking it. But
well, I couldn't theoretically go within 100 feet of the polls, although I had a lawyer jacket on, for whatever that's worth, and also some media badges. But technically, under Ohio law, at least, if any media or election protection people come within 100 feet of the polls, as well as international observers, you can be arrested.
So now, in your experience as an international poll observer or poll watcher, have you run into these kinds of measures in other places? I mean, when you were in El Salvador, for instance, were you able to get closer into the experience than 100 feet?
Well, you know, like 1 foot. You know, everyone in El Salvador can observe the election. There was full transparency. All major parties, the media, the international election observers in the entire community, they open up the boxes in front of everyone and count them. And people gather around and they actually debate the marks. And, you know, there's judges that are right there. And I remember I had to decline. In one case, it was a split between what the mark was going to be. They couldn't decide, and they asked me, and I had to decline as a international observer. I wasn't supposed to intervene, but I could see everything to the point where they were asking me for an opinion.
Wow, that's amazing. So let me get this straight. That's a local law in Ohio. I mean, that's not a federal law that bars election observers or anything like that. I guess because voting in this country, we handle it so strangely. Even on a federal election, it's the laws are by the states and even down to the county level.
County by county and in some cases precinct by precinct. And some precinct captains will allow people in, will allow the media in. You know, others will, you know, threaten you with arrest. I was threatened with arrest many, many times. And if there's a real irregularity, you know, I would just say, fine, I want an arrest, so there'll be a record of what I'm complaining about, and usually I wasn't arrested at that point.
Well, that's great. So, in other words, go ahead, arrest me, and then we'll have what I see going on wrong in your area here put on the record, and then that
exactly
the whole thing.
That's
a neat inoculation you got going there. So then, you know, I've often pondered this question, Bob. We, you know, the so many things about democracy seem to be so much more advanced than so many other countries. You mentioned El Salvador, where the process was so much more transparent than it is here, just the voting process itself. And on, I hear in Venezuela, you know, they have electronic voting machines, but they all produce a paper record that can be verified and so forth. And it seems, and we have these ancient rules here where it's so arcane and all twisted up, and you know, it can be in the hands of local political bosses. Part of the problem, it seems to me, is that being that we're the oldest democracy, we've got some the oldest modern democracy, we've got some of the oldest institutions and oldest ways of approaching things, and perhaps so many other countries around the world have learned from our mistakes and have improved the process. Maybe is it time for us to revisit the process and then strengthen it here at home?
Well, you know, I would hearken to the famous quote, and I'll paraphrase Jimmy Carter, when he was asked why he doesn't observe American elections, and he said, because they don't meet the minimum standards of, you know, international elections. Is that right? If you allow essentially technicians for profit, you know, private companies with secret, you know, source code to come in and count your votes with no one looking, or to send them to their tabulation centers, I mean, how do you verify that, you know, with no paper trail? It really doesn't meet the standards of democracy. And when you can purge, in Ohio, they purged 308,000 voters in for the 2004 election, and they were almost all from Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Toledo, and they were from the inner city. So when you're conducting elections with the systematic purging of, you know, ethnic and racial minorities, that doesn't meet any standard under international law.
It really goes back to some old ways of doing things here in this country, right? Initially, you had to be a landowner, I think a white male landowner were the people who could vote in the first go-around in our country, and then slowly they opened it up to, I guess, all white males, and then after the Civil War, it became all males, and it wasn't until 1923 or so, right, that women got the franchise. So maybe it's just this long history we have of, you know, not trusting the people and the elites wanting to make sure that things turn out the way they would approve.
Yeah, it's in most places. If we were in the European Union, for example, if we were in Western Europe and the countries that are now joining the European Union, voting would be a universal human right or well-established national civil right. You were right. I mean, we essentially have a Jim Crow model of voting and also a long tradition of keeping certain people from voting. So under our system, I mean, we're purging voters in a computer age. Why would you eliminate someone's voter registration completely? You know, short of a notice that they've moved out of state and registered to vote someplace else, or a death notice, why would you purge these people? It makes no sense. I mean, particularly in a state like Ohio and 17 other states, where you have to provide proof of where you live anyway.
And then, of course, you know, like here in New York, they've got my signature on file and so forth. Listen, you know, and so many of these draconian measures are presented in the name of the prevention of voter fraud. What voter fraud has anybody ever observed on any scale that would warrant such obstructionist tactics against we the people?
Well, you know, I mean, you could look at it for half a decade or decade. You come up usually with about 20 cases, most of them accidents where someone's registered someplace else and they didn't even vote, and then they attempt to, you know, they double registered. So there's very few, you know, very few incidents of people committing conscious voter fraud. I think in 2004 in Ohio, they found two cases, you know, and one was a rural area where some white couple decided they didn't want to pay taxes, so they each voted absentee and at the poll in some small town to avoid paying a school levy. So, I mean, there's very little evidence, but there's this mythical fear, particularly that immigrants will come out and vote. But, you know, most immigrants, if they're illegals, you know, as they're called, then, you know, why would they risk coming to the polls?
It'd be the last thing they'd want to do.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's a mythology. The reality is there's very little proof. I mean, what you do is you focus on voter fraud, so you don't have to deal with the greater fraud, which is election fraud, which is really built into the system. If you have private companies, you know, born-again true believer companies like Triad and Mike Connell's company, GovTech, doing this work, and they're Bush family loyalists, what are the real chances that they're not going to think about ways to get their guy elected? Look at Wally O'Dell.
Well, listen, I'd like you to hold that thought, Bob, because we're going on break here. We're speaking with Bob Fitrakis about the election that's coming up and the problems that we continue to have and perhaps some of their origins. We'll be back after these short messages.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
All right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley here on We the People Radio Network. And it's Sunday evening, 8 until 10 p.m. Central Time. That means it's time for the INN Weekend Report. And that's what we do. We bring this show to you every Sunday night. Of course, INN Weekend Report, the radio program, is an offshoot of our television offering that we send out to you across the entire country on the Dish Network satellite system, channel 9415, INN World Report. The television news program. It's a half an hour nightly news broadcast, 6:30 Eastern time, and then it's repeated several times, about two or three more times in the next 24 hours, in the following 24 hours around the country, and that's on Dish Network. So if you have Dish Network, I urge you to check out Free Speech TV on Dish Network. 9415 is that channel. However, you can get our reports at our website, www.innworldreport.net, and many of our reports are appearing now on YouTube, and we're getting more of them up all the time. Plus, finally, I should say, go to our website and look up schedule, because if you don't have Dish Network, you may be having it come into your home as well through many, many different cable systems that pick up the show and college stations and so forth. So there you have it. That's a little bit about INN. And one of our premier election specialists that we like to have on INN on the television program is our guest tonight, Bob Fitrakis. Bob, right before the break, we were talking about this canard that's been used over and over and over again for a long, long time, that all of these ridiculous measures that are employed that actually suppress voting are there to prevent fraud. And yet there seems to be no real fraud to speak of on the part of the citizens. On the other hand, there seems to be a lot of problems, if not outright fraud, on the part of the politicians who are running the show and the corporations who are running it for them. And in many cases, I suspect, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, that these same corporations that are running the show supply some of these politicians with cash for their campaigns in the form of donations.
Well, sure. Wally or Walden O'Dell of Coswell Manor, he lives in a large manor in Upper Arlington here in the Columbus area, sent out a famous letter before the 2004 election, a fundraising letter pledging to deliver Ohio's electoral votes to George W. Bush. He was a member of Bush's Ranger Pioneer team. He'd been to Crawford. He raised a couple $100,000. Now, this is the headline, which I consider a huge breakthrough. On Friday, just this Friday, above the fold in the Columbus Dispatch, which hasn't endorsed a Democrat since 1916, Woodrow Wilson, it says, voting machine glitch admitted. instructions being issued to avoid problems in election. Premier Election Solution, and that's formerly Diebold, quote, said a source code error caused votes to go missing in some counties. Now, we who study elections and have been studying the exit polls said, yeah, votes went missing. They were votes for John Kerry. There appears to be about a 6% of them are missing. There's been like almost a direct switch of three votes instead of Kerry winning 51-48, which people are saying coming out of the polls, Bush wins 51-48. So here, the front page.
Bob, a point of clarification for our listeners who may not be savvy on the details. When you say coming out of the polls, you're saying the difference between the exit polling, which seemed to have flipped to the actual count that came later. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, the exit polls are much more accurate than the tracking polls. Tracking polls occur before an election. It's like, how will you vote? Exit polls are, how did you just vote? And even more interesting, which has always puzzled us, is the guy who in Ohio who worked on the computers, Mike Connell of GovTech, also ran another company called New Media, and he did the essentially the IT work for the Swift Boat people and for George Bush's reelection team. So he's doing the most partisan IT work in the world under one company, and then the other company is installing the software in real time for the vote count in the Secretary of State's office as a nonpartisan, you know, government contractor. And they also outsourced the official election count in Ohio to a site in Chattanooga, Tennessee, at the old Pioneer Bank building, which housed all these Republican servers and these websites, including direct ties to the White House, to a site called GWB43.com, where Roe's famous missing emails are relating to the fired federal prosecutors who wouldn't go along with prosecuting fake voter fraud.
You know, you can't make this stuff up, can you?
I mean, this is. I wish I could. You know, we spent 3 years looking into this, and it's like, you know, I don't believe this. And it gets even better because Connell, after Bush wins, he also did the computers in 2000 in Florida, the government computers, after doing Jeb Bush's election campaign in 98. And he goes back to the former CIA director's campaign, Vice President George Bush, in 1988. So we look into it. He also did the government work, the first ever IT guy to be allowed to move his private servers behind the congressional firewall, where he was allowed to service and do the websites for the House Intelligence Committee, the House Judiciary Committee, the House Ways and Means Committee, and the House Administration Committee, arguably the four most powerful committees in the U.S. House of Representatives, privatized to one of the most partisan men in the world who told numerous newspaper, I'm a Bush loyalist.
Well, it seems like, well, first of all, I have no doubt that this kind of stuff went on in the pre-computer era, okay, on paper and in the smoke-filled rooms and all that sort of thing. But I guess that, you know, with computers and modern technology and the Internet and people are able to find out these kinds of things, it's the business as usual. It's like the rocks are being lifted up and we can see all the vermin crawling around underneath. How can this go on bald-faced like this? Are they just so full of themselves that they think that people that are just going to keep going along with these screwed up elections time after time after time and they can say whatever they want?
Well, I mean, part of it is the Republican Party, technologically speaking, is so far more advanced than the Democrats. Up until the Barack Obama phenomena, it really was the Republicans that had this tremendous advantage on the Internet. And really, they were data miners. That's how they could cage and target black voters to eliminate them, to purge them, to challenge them, to harass them, to call them up and say, if you show up to vote, we'll get you for parking tickets or whatever other things they said. So the Democrats historically also have not been willing to challenge these people. It's almost as if you call into the question the the legitimacy of the American voting process, you're un-American. And in many cases, the Democrats are junior partners. The people that are elected under the given system. So they're not likely to call it into question because it put them in Congress or in the Senate.
The good old-fashioned smoke-filled room systems that we were talking about before. But let's be clear also, good friends, we're talking about the will of the people here. You know, it happens that it seems like at the moment the Republicans have the upper hand in all of the shenanigans. But, you know, that could change, and the Democratic Party could have the upper hand the next time around or sometime in the future, right? But we're talking about cleaning up the process so it's transparent and that the chips can fall where they may, correct?
Sure, because at a certain point, many people point out that Barack Obama has been traveling a lot and speaking a lot to Republican Senator Chuck Hagel, who used to be an owner of AIS, which is now known as ESNS, which actually, you know, counts more votes than Diebold. So, you know, you've got areas, certain county areas here that if you're a Democrat and you control this machinery, you can do things with it. As well. So we need full transparency. Everyone's got to know what's going on, just like the people of El Salvador understood. You count the votes in broad daylight in front of everybody.
Why don't we continue this on the other side? We're taking a break here, about 3 minutes or so, and we'll be right back with Bob Petraeus talking about the elections.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
All right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley on INN World Report Radio. We're speaking with Bob Petraeus. We're talking about elections and what's wrong with them and what continues to be wrong with them, and how these people that are controlling the machinery just seem to, they just keep pushing their hand in the face of we the people and putting us back down in our seats and saying, yeah, you know, you're – it's almost as if, Bob, we're window dressing to make it look like there's a democratic process happening, but we're required as far as that goes. But, that's about it. You know, if they determine that we voted the wrong way, they'll do their best to fix that, won't they?
Well, there's actually a term. The CIA used to do this in the Third World, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, as covert operations. They used to call them benign operations because they weren't bloody coups. But we would know it as election rigging. They can program elections. They learned this a long time ago. They can target groups and they've been doing it with mainframes. In fact, in 1980, Ronald Reagan, after winning the election, asked whether or not the votes could be manipulated by computer because some charges made against the former CIA director, George Bush, who ran for vice president. In 82, a report came back from his national security directive, 25, saying that, 36% of the votes had been counted on essentially centralized computers, and you could pretty much manipulate any election if you had control of the program.
Well, and that's why we really, I think it's just pretty simple, isn't it? We need to go back to paper ballots. You can use electronic machines if you want. You get a quick count and so forth, but I would rather, if I'm going to be using an electronic machine, I want to see it just like when I'm at the bank, right? If I withdrew a certain amount of money, I get a little receipt, says what I did, right? I can take a look. I can make sure that it's exactly what happened. If not, I can call the bank up and say, hey, there's a problem.
Is that those receipts aren't necessarily because of Diebold's GEM system, the General Election Management System. It keeps two sets of books. You could be completely accurate at the precinct level. But it doesn't subtotal to the county level. That's a separate entry. So the county level could be tens of thousands of votes off while all the precinct totals are matching the machines at the precinct level.
Right, but what I'm saying is if it ever seems bad, particularly like you said before about the, if there's a gap in the exit polling, which, by the way, used to be the standard, right?
It still is. Any place but the United States, it's the gold standard, right? That's how we determine the election. Yeah, they want you to believe that the universal laws of statistics are applicable every place in the world except the U.S., remember, we overturned the elections in the Ukraine because of the exit polls showing that another party won.
You know, I went to a symposium in New York in the aftermath of the 2000 election, and there was a famous journalist there, and his name escapes me right now, but somebody asked him about the exit polling, and he says, oh, well, you know, you can't trust the exit polling. It's not accurate.
Wrong. I mean, what I find really shocking is I have a PhD in political science, and I've done tracking polls and been paid to do that. I'm not an election poll expert, but I know a lot about polling. And I'm surprised the guy in Ohio who told the AP that the election polls don't matter was a guy named Dan Takagi, who's a law professor at OSU, who admitted to me when I called him out that he hadn't taken a single graduate class on any level in exit polling. And the reality is that the exit polls are, in fact, incredibly accurate. And here's what they do. There's an assumption that if the exit polls say one thing with an error margin of plus or minus one, and the actual result says something else, that the exit polls must be wrong. When, in fact, if you were really doing social science and knew about polling, you'd immediately look to the instrumentation, whether it was recording right. And we know in Ohio that 3% of the votes weren't counted, and those 3% came from the inner city of Cleveland, Toledo, Cincinnati, Columbus, that was voting 90% for Kerry.
Better example than that for you. In Florida, the law is the intention of the voter, not whether or not they filled the form out the right way or what have you, and not whether or not a machine can read the form. But if a human being looks at the form, can the intention of the voter be determined? That's I believe that's
sure the intent of the voter standard. Yeah.
That's right. So let me ask you then, if you're a voter in Palm Beach County and you just thought that you voted for Al Gore when, in fact, because they cocked up the ballot, your vote went to instead to somebody else, and an exit poll asks you, what was your intent? Who did you vote for? And you say Al Gore. In that case, your exit poll is more accurate than the other poll, isn't it?
Sure it is. And here's the even more interesting thing is that the people who designed the butterfly ballot, where, you know, instead of voting on the outside, you voted to the middle and you ended up being Jewish and voting for Buchanan, who acknowledged that you probably didn't vote for him, and then you went outside and said you voted for Gore. The company that created that, a subsidiary of it, is Triad. They are the same people who handled half of the counties in Ohio in 2004. They're a true believer family, very far-right religious people, who just happened to be the technicians that fixed the central tabulators that weren't broken just prior to the 2004 election.
Bob, what do you say? We open the phone lines up and get some callers and get their opinions? Good friends, if you'd like to speak with our guest, Bob Fitrakis, why don't you give us a call, 512-646-1984, 512-646-1984. And remember, good friends, we're talking about we the people. We're talking about your intent and your vote. And you know, it may be that one party is on top today with the technology and they're fixing it their way, but it could be that a different party will be on top tomorrow unless we get this mess straightened out. So do not mistake what we're talking about. We're not talking about this from a pro-Democratic or pro-Republican side. Okay, this is an issue of our will being respected and paid attention to. Give us a call, 512-646-1984. So, Bob, with all of this shenanigans and all this junk going on, okay, we've got an election just a couple of months away now. Does it look like we're going to have any better time of it in 2008 than we did in 2004 and in 2000?
Well, I think if we essentially stop the apparatus, as long as you have real-time transmission of data from county central tabulators to the real-time vote count at the Secretary of State's office, you're inviting fraud. I mean, it's just too tempting not to try to pre-program or hack the vote. So unless you can decentralize this by paper or even Scantrons that are counted at the precinct and posted immediately, you've still got an apparatus in place that allows people to steal the vote.
Can't, and this goes back to what I was saying before, Bob. Can't you combine it and have the best of both? Can't you have an electronic system which produces a very clear, legible printout, which can be also scanned and read by a machine, so that when you voted, you get a piece of paper in your hand, you can take a look at it and say, yes, that's my intention right there. You take that, you put it in a box,
sure.
and it can be counted twice.
In fact, that system was created by a man named Ethan Gibbs, who died tragically a week after I wrote a couple articles about him. He got hit by a 18-wheel truck. But a man named Ethan Gibbs said the same thing you're saying. He had the true vote system, saying, look, you could get it printed on a receipt for everyone to see, and you sign off on it, and it has an identifier that doesn't go back to you, but you get a number to make sure your vote's actually been counted, and you drop it into a lockbox.
A good old lockbox. You know, as a matter of fact, in my fantasy world, the 8x10 paper would have three sections. You know, and you could perforate them, and you can rip them off, and you could have three ballot boxes. On your way out the door, you could drop one in for the county, one in for the Democratic Party, and one in for the Republican Party, and then anybody can count it the way whenever they want. How's that?
Well, that system, the Swiss have come up with that with color-coded ballots. Essentially, they make the ballots different colors, and you drop them so you can't mess them up. You drop them into the right box. Other people also have said, you know, when you fold these over, you can't see them. So why don't you make these boxes transparent so that when people come in at the beginning of the day, they see nothing's in there and they see them get filled up over the course of the day? Because in many precincts throughout the United States, there's really only, you know, 100, 200, 300 people voting. Even in the large urban areas, you know, there's often only 600, 700, 800 votes. That's not that many votes to count at the precinct.
Yeah, and you see that on television, you know, in other countries when they're voting. They've got the
95% vote on paper.
And they put in a clear plastic ballot box. Listen, Bob, we got one more segment coming up after this. Will you hang on and continue
sure.
with us? Okay,
thanks.
Great. We'll be right back after these messages, good friends. We're speaking with Bob Fitrakis about the upcoming election.
Are you the plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with Jurisdictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step-by-step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit WTPRN.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
Collectors, outdoor enthusiasts, survivalists. The Army Navy store from your memory as a child is just that, a memory. But there is still one place to find everything from gas masks to ammo cans and find it cheap. MaineMilitary.com. Get hard to find objects like real wool blankets for under 20 bucks, canteens for just $2, or trioxane fuel for just $1 a box. M-A-I-N-E, military.com with free shipping on items over $150, not including heavy items. Find surplus items for cheap now, like 30 caliber cleaning kit for just $2.99 a piece or a dozen for $30. Flare pistols are only $25. Want to add a brand new Israeli gas mask to your collection? Kids and adult sizes are just $20. Get G3 mags for just $2 or a military fuel can for only $16. Add the siphon holes for another $7.99. Find it all online at MaineMilitary.com. With shipping throughout the world, check out MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179. Call today.
Deadline Live and Jack Blood are proud to announce our new bookstore. Okay, it's not really our online bookstore where you can get every title, book, and DVD you hear about on our live show. It's brought to you by the people at Brave New Books. BraveNewBookstore.com is the newest, bravest, and most complete bookstore online today. And their DVD selection has all the titles you need to decode the New World Order and fight the information war. BraveNewBookstore.com has awesome t-shirts to proudly display your patriotism and liberty stickers to alert the public at large. Brave New Books is physically located at 1904 Guadalupe Street under the Chase Bank building next to UT in Austin, Texas. So stop on by and maybe stay for one of their film showings. Go to BraveNewBookstore.com now to peruse the virtual bookstore and look for the Jack Blood recommended section. Or call them at 866-516-6623. 866-516-6623 to order the books and videos you hear about on Deadline Live. Be the resistance. Tell your friends about BraveNewBookstore.com.
All right, good friends, welcome back. We're coming down the home stretch for hour number one here on INN War Report Radio. This week, coming to you from Denver, Colorado, instead of Brooklyn, New York, where we usually emanate from. We're here covering the Democratic Convention. We hope to have a whole bunch of great guests coming up on our program, on the television program. So you want to stay tuned on INN War Report as well on Free Speech TV. And you go to our website, watch your show, innworldreport.net. And while you're on our website, check out the schedule. Look up your state. You may have a cable station in your neighborhood that also runs INN World Report. Even if you don't have Dish Network, you can watch it that way as well. I know we just spoke with Cynthia McKinney. She's going to be on the program, I believe, tomorrow. Cynthia McKinney is the nominee of the Green Party to run for president. So she's also been on INN before. One of the few people in the Congress, for instance, who stood up and asked for more answers on 9/11, for instance, like that. Very interesting member of Congress and now running for president. So anyhow, I'm having a great time speaking with Bob Fitrakis, partaking of his deep knowledge about elections and election monitoring and election fraud. He's done it around the world in other countries, and he can't. He's threatened with arrest if he tries to make sure that the system works in this country. You're welcome to call and join in if you'd like. 512-646-1984. 512-646-1984. And remember, good friends, this is not a Democratic or Republican issue. This is a We the People issue. This is the will of the people, which is very inconvenient sometimes for the political parties. The will of the people is of which I speak. And they have the ability, they've had for many years through not so technical means, but now they have a very easy ability through technical means to sort of manipulate the will of the people and suppress it and come up with their own fantasy of what the people actually voted for and actually wanted. So then, Bob, I was asking about this upcoming election now in 2008. It seems like there is no stomach in the Congress to put an end to this kind of thing. So why wouldn't we expect to have the world get turned upside down yet again, that exit polls are saying that one candidate or the other should be coming out with the vote, and in fact, we find a flip-flop?
Well, one of the things is the reaction by the mainstream media, and that's why it's so important to listen to alternative voices. The for-profit mainstream media, the big six that controls 80% of the worldwide infotainment product, has decided that their consortium is going to make the exit polls sloppier. So in the 2006 election, instead of having a plus or minus one, which revealed that the exit polls were wrong in Ohio, and I might add 10 of the 11 battleground states, and all in one direction, all favoring Bush. Bush is doing impossibly better. I mean, so much better that it should only occur once in every 959,000 elections, which occur every 4 years. So every 3.5 to 4 million years of election, Bush would have done this in actual vote compared to the exit poll. So most of us don't believe that. We think something was wrong with the vote count. So the solution.
So let me guess, Bob. That's a problem. So now we have to assail and degrade.
Yeah, and what happens is now it's going to be 5% error factor. So now it's going to be plus or minus 5. fear than a tracking pull.
Because it just makes it that much harder to steal, because people are getting so hip to the notion that the exit polls are, in fact, much more accurate than...
Yes, but you make them inaccurate, even though they'll remain accurate in all the elections the U.S. and the U.N. observes overseas. So they'll still be the gold standard every place but the United States.
As our country continues to be devalued in so, so many different ways. Good friends, you can give us a call, 512-646-1984. 1984, that last four numbers on our phone number, they're not there for an accident. They're there because of exactly what we're talking about. We're talking doublespeak here. We're talking about things being turned on their head. And now, because they represent too much of a problem, exit polls, they're going to be further messed up and fuzzied up. You know, there was that company that used to do them for many years, right? And then after the 2000 election, they went out of business, remember? And they apologized.
Edison Matofsky died soon after, after apologizing and saying his exit polls were wrong. When he, right after that, did the exit polls in the Ukraine, which essentially the U.S. State Department said proved fraud in the Ukraine, led to the Orange Revolution and a new election. So, yeah, it gets real odd when you see the, for example, here in Ohio, in a tracking poll, the Columbus Dispatch had predicted, you know, an issue passing by 60%, that people could go out and vote early and make it easy to vote. And then apparently on Election Day, two-thirds of the population voted against early voting and easy voting. So instead of saying maybe somebody flipped the vote, they said, oh, boy, we must be really bad and inaccurate pollsters, even though they had never been that inaccurate ever. You know, they'd never really missed something by, you know, 30-point switch, 60 points. You know, the most they'd ever missed anything by had been 12 points.
Well, it all goes back to the same thing. You've got elites, and they have their agenda. And we the people are required as window dressing to make it look like democracy is functioning and that, in fact, you have a vote that counts. But in actuality, these things can be manipulated much more easily now than ever before. You don't even have to.
Sure, they're using pre-packaged computers. And the CIA used to call these demonstration elections. It's easier to get people to be compliant when there's a notion that the people were elected and government officials are legitimate. You know, we tried to use mainframe computers to bring Marcos to power, but the workers who were inside the computer centers walked out and said, look, they're bringing in new tapes. They were using these in the mainframes. And to his credit, the conservative Senator Richard Lugar, who was observing, blew the whistle and said, look, they're reprogramming the computers to make Marcos the president. And when the people walked out and Lugar blew the whistle, democracy prevailed and Cory Aquino became the president of the Philippines.
And they called it people power, and that's the very thing that they try to suppress, isn't it? You know, it reminds me, Bob, of what you're saying. I believe this quote, or I'm going to paraphrase perhaps, is attributed to Joe Stalin, but it's not who votes that counts. It's who counts the vote that counts, right?
Right. And, again, the Long family, you know, Huey and Russell Long, said, you know, give me six commissioners on the Board of Election, and I'll make the voting machines, and these were lever machines, sing a home sweet home.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing nowadays. It boggles the mind. How long are we going to let this go on? And you know, you bring up another very important point. INN World Report, as an alternative media outlet, was founded because of the job of the mainstream corporate media, what they did during the 2000 election, when in fact they were actually a cheerleader for inaccurate counting of the votes rather than a force, the fourth estate, a voice of the people to get down to the bottom of the problem. It's almost as if trying to find out the truth of what happened in the 2000 election would make them seem partisan. Do you remember how that went?
Sure. And here in 2004, now we've got the very newspaper, The Dispatch, that called this crazy conspiracy theory, four years later, to run a headline story on his front page that the computers were dropping votes. You know, when we first came out and said this, and you know, we were considered to be crazy, and we kept pointing to the exit polls. But you know, I mean, they deliberately suppressed the vote in Florida. The exit polls showed Al Gore winning, and even more shockingly, in the case of Florida, the call of the election came from Fox News. The first cousin, John Ellis, the first cousin of President Bush, called Bush the winner, and it was based on 16,000 votes being subtracted from Gore by a computer that, quote, glitched, and 4,000 accidentally being added to the vote of George W. Bush. There was a 20,000 vote shift that didn't occur in reality, and Roger Ailes actually apologized in a congressional hearing, but Fox didn't really televise that. I mean, well, they prematurely called that election, and that if every vote would have been counted, Gore would have won.
Well, first of all, they couldn't have called the election because it took months, apparently, to get to the bottom of it.
It was too close to call, sure.
And they didn't even actually get to the bottom of it. It wasn't until the newspapers did the job, and they whispered it in November of 2001, right?
Sure. And then, but it was, you know, it was the first cousin of the president, John Ellis, who called that election.
But he planted the perception in people's minds, inaccurately, but very beneficially.
Based on a computer glitch from a company that supported Bush for president.
Well, there you have it. Bob, we're going to be watching this situation as it goes forward. And, you know, hopefully we won't need to talk with you, but I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot to talk about. So we need you on standby. What are your plans? Very briefly, we only have about 30 seconds. What are your plans for this election? You going to be poll watching anyplace?
Yeah, I'm going to be out in the streets. There's going to be a national conference in Ohio, 26th through the 28th of September. We're going to video the vote. We're going to get inside. We're going to create ways to monitor this electronically. Go to freepress.org for detail.
All right, great. Bob Petrakis, and we'll have you back. Unfortunately, I think we're going to have you back because this mess has not been straightened out, and I don't see it getting straightened out anytime soon. Okay, good friends. Thank you, Bob, and we'll be back after this one-minute message with our second hour.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.